themes in Genesis today. Today my subject is the call of Abraham. When God called Abraham initially out of Ur of the Chaldees and to follow him. But I want to start in Acts chapter 7. So I'm going to ask you to turn initially to Acts chapter 7. And then we'll get to the book of Genesis, I hope. Acts chapter 7, of course, is when Stephen is preaching the sermon that got him martyred. Well, that's a sight, isn't it? I mean, Stephen was, I guess, the first Christian martyr. Anyway, that's beside the point. He starts his sermon out, though. It's very curious in Acts chapter 7. He starts his sermon out with some of the things that I would like to mention to you today about the call of Abraham. The book of Genesis, you know, we've got all these stories of the flood and the Tower of Babel and all that. And then when you get to Genesis 12, which is where we're going to start today, the whole scope of the book of Genesis changes. And now, for the rest of the book, it'll be centered on the life and the call and the actions and the descendants of this man, Abraham. And there's so much for us to learn in the book of Genesis as we go through the story of Abraham's life and so forth. And we're not going to go through it, you know, but today just I want to talk about his initial call and so forth. But in Acts chapter 7, here's how Stephen starts his sermon that got him murdered. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men," that is Stephen said, "men, brethren, and fathers, hearken." That makes me grin. So when I ask you, are you listening? I've got biblical precedent for it. Just saying. When I say, listen up. In fact, we were out there in Georgia, and one of the brethren quoted that verse where Paul says, what? And I thought, okay, I've got biblical authority to say what? In the pulpit too. But anyway, okay. All right. That's one of my bad habits, I know. Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Now the town was Ur, U-R. God appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. That's spelled C-H there. In Genesis it's spelled H-A-R-A-N. And all that is Hebrew, Greek, that's all that is. Doesn't mean a mistake. You can't believe the people that want to call that a mistake, though. But anyway. So God appeared unto Abraham before he dwelt in Haran. Now I wish I had a map up here. Ur is at the very top end of the Persian Gulf. When Abraham left Ur, he had to go north a long way to get up to Haran. And Haran then was way north of the land of Palestine. So when Abraham finally went into the land of Canaan, he was traveling south. That'll factor into the story here in just a minute. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, mean old God. How mean God can be. You know what God is having us see early on in the life of Abraham? That he's got to love God more than he loves his family. Say amen. Oh, man. Get thee out of thy country. Y'all got to understand, we're talking 1,600 years, 1,700 years or so before Christ. May I hasten to say one more time, there are no Bibles, no churches, There's no nation of Israel. Abraham's the man that's eventually going to become the nation of Israel. There are no Levitical priests, no, none of that. Hey, y'all, may I ask you gently, how did God get eternal life to Abraham without all that? And may I gently suggest that ever how God got, let me try that again, however God got eternal life to Abraham way back then is exactly how he gets eternal life to every single one of his children. That's why the Lord can say, I'm not going to lose any of them. And I got to get off that. I could just like water around in that. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee. Now, back to Genesis 12. Now, we've talked over and over and we've thought over and over about the faith that it took for Abraham to do this. And y'all look, there's no question, according to Hebrews and other places in the Bible, that Abraham obeyed God by faith. You realize what that means? Does not Galatians teach us that faith is a fruit of the Spirit? If Abraham obeyed God, when Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, and he obeyed God by faith, he had to have been born again before he ever left Ur. Say amen, church. Amen. That I cannot describe how powerfully important that is theologically. And if God will bless us to continue in the some gleanings in the book of Genesis, we'll see that down the road. Now, in Genesis 12, and it's don't you find it curious that that's how Stephen started his sermon today? You want to know why Stephen started his sermon with Abraham? Okay, this is getting ahead of myself, but that's what I do. I'm going to say this now, and I may say it at the end. What's going on here in the life of Abraham? He being called out of Ur of the Chaldees. And then he's eventually going to dwell in the land of Canaan, which God would give his descendants, right? What this is all about, the real significance of this, are you listening, is not that God was going to bring into existence the nation of Israel. That is not, absolutely is not, the most important thing that we are to understand about this. Now, there's too many people that's all they want to emphasize. Do you know the purpose for which God brought the nation of Israel into existence, one of them? To eventually bring us Messiah. You know what the real importance, the real significance of what God is doing, I mean, this is, my mind won't hardly wrap around this. All God is doing is calling Abraham up out of Ur of the Chaldees, going to show him a land that he would eventually give his descendants. And then he's going to tell Abraham, in thee shall all the nations and families of the earth be blessed. Now, does he mean by that that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed by the Jews? No. What he means is all families of the earth are going to be blessed in Christ. That's what this is really about. I tell you, if you read the Old Testament, and all you think about is the nation of Israel, you're missing the bus. The nation of Israel is typical of the nation of God's elect family, spiritual Israel. I called them a nation there. That's not really accurate. The nation of Israel is typical of all of God's sheep in all nations and ages. National Israel, typical of spiritual Israel. Are you with me? And this is the beginning. Abraham coming up out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he's going to have some work to do. It's not going to be easy. I don't know how far it was from Ur to Haran, but it's a long ways. And there were not Silverado pickups. Becky drove me part of the way home, and I just nearly went to sleep. I imagine that when Abraham had to get on his camel named Clyde, and I doubt that he could stretch out and take a nap all the way to Haran. Isn't it interesting that sometimes when God calls us to do things that honor him, maybe not sometimes, maybe all times, when God calls us to do things that honor Him, we are going to have to do something. It's going to cost us. Say amen. And may I say, whatever it costs us to serve the Lord, whatever it costs us to follow Christ, whatever we've got to give up, and you're going to have to give some things up to follow Christ, whatever it costs, it's worth it. What you get is so much better than what you got to give up. Can you say amen? Do you realize when Abraham had to give up his family, he got something far better? I mean, if the Lord will bless, we'll see some of the things that happened in the life of Abraham in weeks ahead. Okay, now I got ahead of myself, which is my normal custom. Genesis chapter 12 now. First three verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. That means He had already said something. He had already said this to Abram. Get thee out of thy country. This sound familiar? What Stephen was preaching. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Man. Oh boy. I'll tell you something else. Have y'all ever followed your GPS down through the bowels of a city at night? When it's dark and you're in the guts of a city and you're following your GPS and you don't know where you're going, and you don't know how you're going to get there, you don't know where the next turn is. And I keep thinking every time that happens to me and I'm a nervous wreck. You ever make y'all nervous? And I'm saying to myself, she does not know where she's going. She does not know where she's taking me. We're going to wind up in Missoula, Montana, or somewhere. But, you know, we usually get there. Hey, that is a really, really good illustration of what it means to walk by faith. Abraham, come on. I'll show you where we're going when we get there. Isn't that great? Do you realize, oh my brothers and sisters in Christ, do you realize when God calls on us to follow Him, we're following Him to a place that we don't really know how to get there, but He's going to lead us there. And I'm not even talking about heaven. I'm talking about the local church, the Christian assembly, the blessings that are in it. Until you've been there, you've never been there. Boy, that's profound. Well, I say some of the goofiest stuff, don't I? But seriously, God calls His children from death to life, and every one of them ought to join up in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and follow Him. May I say that the land of Canaan that God brought the children of Israel into is a type of the church, not of heaven. It's not a type of heaven. Do you realize that some of the elect of the nation of Israel didn't get into Canaan? 2.5 tribes never made it. All that died in the wilderness during the 40 years of wandering never made it. You better hope that Canaan isn't a type of heaven. I'm telling you, all the saints of God, all of God's sheep, all of His elect are going to go to heaven. He said, I'm not going to lose any of them. But there's a lot of God's saints that don't make it into the kingdom of God. Okay, all right. Get thee out of thy country from thy kindred and from thy father's house and into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Most Bible chronologists think that when Abraham first was called in Ur, he was about 60 years old. Those of you Bible scholars, tell me, how old was he when he had his firstborn son? That is correct. 100, 99 years old, 100 years old. And this goes back to the thing that I've talked about so often here at Point Remove, how God, there may a lot of times be delays in God's fulfillment of His promises. God is not on the rapid schedule we are. We all want what we want, and we want it now. In fact, most of us would prefer if we had it yesterday. Amen. Boy, God takes His time, and God is fixing to start a lengthy process here that's going to culminate What's starting here in Genesis 12 is going to culminate in the birth of Jesus Christ of Nazareth in Bethlehem 1,700 years later. It's almost... Okay. I will make of thee a great nation. This guy, he's just him and Sarai. Their names haven't even been changed yet. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and that does not continue to abide. Oh, my goodness. Do you realize, every time I think about that, do you realize God himself cursed the nation of Israel? I'll just throw that out there. God himself cursed the nation of Israel during the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broke them off, grafted the Gentiles in. I'll just throw that out there for you to think about. And then, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that is a prophecy of Christ. That is not a prophecy of the nation of Israel. It's a prophecy of Christ that would come through the nation of Israel. Isn't that great? All right, now, God says all this to Abraham. Now, back up, because that verb had said means God had already told him to do this before. Now look, and remember what Stephen said. He was called up out of Ur, dwelt in Haran before he came down into the land of Canaan. In other words, Abraham did not, this is interesting, Abraham did not immediately obey God. Now that ought to sort of give you some comfort, because look here. God didn't break his covenant with Abraham just because Abraham didn't obey like he should. Are you with me? How many of you obey like you should? Good response. I don't either. Aren't you glad to know that the covenant that God made with you and concerning you is not based on your good works, but on the works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad to know that? Oh, I'm so glad. Okay, so now let's back up to the end of chapter 11 here and get a little bit more information on this. Verse 27. Remember, God had already said that to Abraham when he was 60, living in Ur. And at the point that we're reading in Genesis 12, he's already living up in Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. That was Abraham's father. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. That's the name of the man. It may have been how they got the name of where they lived. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Again, at the very back end of the Persian Gulf. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. Eventually will be changed to Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Will that factor into the story later? The fact that Sarai was barren and had no child? Now you realize this is when she is, well, I don't know, if Abraham's 60, she's 10 years younger, so she's 50. She's barren. How long is it going to be before she has a baby boy? What? Well, 90 before she has Isaac. She's going to have, Ishmael before that. But it's going to be quite a while before God fulfills the promise he says to her. How many of you have trouble waiting on the Lord? I know I do. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son. Lot will factor into this story later on too, won't he? Lot's going to factor into this story later in the book of Genesis. And Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees. Now, what's the mistake Abraham just made? What's the mistake he just made? He took his family. What did God tell him? Don't take your family. Leave your home, leave your family. What's the mistake Abraham made? He took his family up with him to Haran. Bless your heart. Aren't you glad to know that God didn't say, okay, Abraham, you disobeyed. Cancel. I'm canceling everything. Aren't you glad? I ask you, how long-suffering and patient and merciful is the God of heaven toward us? How long-suffering and merciful has God been with you as an individual, with me, with our nation, with the nations of the earth. How long-suffering and merciful. There are times when I don't understand why God, you know, you ever seen an old-timer lick his fingers and put a candle out? Sometimes I wonder why God just goes and put us out. Don't you wonder that at times? You know why he doesn't? Because he's long-suffering and merciful in the extreme. Okay. And Terah took Abraham his son, all them, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now again, this is way north of Canaan, Haran is. So if they're going to, they shouldn't have stopped there. They should go on there, but they stopped there and they wait a while. Now here's the thing I'd like to also pass along. May I say to you, when God calls on us to obey him, and we too wait for whatever the reason, may I say, when we turn from that and repent and obey God, he still blesses us even though we have not obeyed him immediately. Are you with me? The same thing is true of Abraham here. Abraham didn't initially do what God told him. He waited a while, but God still blessed him. Are you listening? Isn't that great? God's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. I'm so glad to say. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died. That's Abraham's father, and he died in Haran. And that's when Abraham finally leaves and starts heading south to go into the land of Canaan. Okay. Now, verse 4 in Genesis chapter 12. I know this is more history, but this is, I just want you to understand now, what we're reading here is not just history. This is actually God starting the process, if I can use such language, starting the process of the multitude of generations, which I'm going to read here in just a minute, the generations and the generations it took to eventually get that virgin-born baby to come forth in Bethlehem, Judea. This is the process that started his humanity. Now, I want you to clearly understand this process right here did not start his divinity. His divinity never started. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the one that did the creating in Genesis. He was the eternal Son of God. But the Son of Man is going to be born, and he's going to come down here, y'all, and his purpose, his main purpose in coming is going to be described in Matthew 1:21, my favorite verse. He shall save his people from their sins. That was the main purpose for which God sent Christ. And we're right here starting the lengthy, genealogical process by which we got Christ. And there's so many details in this. I'll give you an example. You got Abraham, and then you got Isaac, and then you got Jacob. Then you got the 12 sons of Jacob who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And Christ was even prophesied to come out of the tribe of Judah among the nation. In other words, he was a descendant of the son Judah of those 12. And by the way, you say, Brother Gary, whoop-dee-doo. Well, let me tell you, there's an absolutely incredibly profound theological argument about the priesthood of Christ because of that very fact that we're taught in the New Testament, that he came through the lineage of Judah. He was not of the tribe of Levi. So his priesthood, Christ's priesthood, was not of the Old Testament Levitical priesthood. His priesthood, since he came through Judah, was after the order of Melchizedek that Abraham is going to meet in Genesis chapter 14, which we'll get to in a week or two. Is this not unreal? It's absolutely unreal. Okay. So God had appeared to Abraham and told him, well, now Terah's dead, his father's dead. Abraham's now in the neighborhood of 75 years old. We're fixing to read that in verse 4. So y'all listen, it's been 15 years. Chronologically speaking, it's been about 15 years since God first appeared to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham obeyed him sort of halfway. I wonder if you've ever obeyed God sort of halfway. Boy, I sure have. I'm ashamed of it. You ever get started obeying God and then something derails you? Something derailed Abraham too. The glory of his God didn't change his mind about Abraham. Isn't that just marvelous? Do you realize God, in fact, I forgot to say, God chose Abraham. Let me pause right here and make the, with all the fervency in me, to tell you that God made an unconditional election of the man Abraham. It was an unconditional election. God chose this man Abraham. Now think about what I'm telling you. God chose this man Abraham out of the multitudes in Mesopotamia. There's a whole bunch of people in Mesopotamia. How many of them did God choose? One, this guy named Abram. And I want you to notice that God chose Abram unconditionally. How do I know it's unconditionally? Because God knew he was going to disobey. And God chose him anyway. Say amen, church. This is unconditional election. God didn't choose Abraham because he knew he was going to be all wonderful. Now, Abraham did some great stuff. Oh, are you listening? There are so many unconditional elections taught in the Bible. The animals that got on the ark, you remember that one from, was that last week? I've already preached four times since last week. I can't. Okay, I'm no longer mad at you if you can't remember what I preach, because I can't either. I can't remember it either. So it's okay. But anyway, God chose the animals that got on the ark. You remember that? God brought those animals to Noah. He didn't go after God to catch that animal, those animals. They came to him. Unconditional election is taught all the way through the Bible. Right here is a good example of an unconditional election where God chose this man, Abram, not because he was going to do great. God chose him because he wanted him. Whose will was involved? By the way, God didn't say, please notice what God did not say to Abraham. God did not say, hey, Abraham, how do you feel about Abraham? You want to do this? How do you feel about leaving your country and leaving your family? How do you feel about it, Abraham? You want to do that? The Lord didn't say that. I'm not sure the Lord's ever made a suggestion in his life. He said, come on, Abraham. Isn't that great? Do you realize that's an unconditional election? God chose him. Do you realize every single preacher that has ever preached the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God unconditionally elected him? Because God knew there were going to be knuckleheads and make mistakes and fail and not do a good job, not do as good a job, not even do as good a job as the preacher himself wants to do. So God chose this man even knowing he was going to mess. Isn't that great? By the way, God chose you. If you're here today and you love God and hate sin, he chose you before the foundation of the world, and he didn't choose you because he knew you were going to be great on your own. He chose you in spite of the fact that you're a sinner, and he chose you so that one day you would stand before him holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't that great? That's just fabulous. Okay. All right. I never did. Did I ever get to verse 4? I might need to read verse 4. I just interrupted myself again. So Abraham departed, finally, as the Lord had spoken. He departed Haran, y'all. He didn't depart Ur, he departed Haran. And Lot went with him. And see, Lot shouldn't have even gone with him from one way of looking at it. But anyway, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So now it's 15 years later. So he's waited too long to obey the Lord. But y'all, when he obeys the Lord, God still honors his obedience. Are you listening? Am I saying that we should wait before we obey the Lord? Absolutely not. Listen to me. If the Lord's weighing on your heart to do something, to follow him. If the Lord's working in your heart and soul to follow him, don't delay. Follow him immediately. It'll be far easier on you. I promise you. You won't have to regret delaying, if nothing else. Abraham delayed a little while. Verse 5. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now they're traveling kind of south into Palestine. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, oh, this is something. I mean, I try to imagine now, here's this man. He's never been in this country in his life. He's never seen it in his life. The only way he knows to get here is the Lord has led him there. And the Lord is fixing to tell him something that is going to happen years in the future that has profound theological significance. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Y'all, that is something that Abraham never lived to see. Abraham never lived to see that. Do you realize that sometimes, maybe most of the time, the things we do in the service of God and in an effort to perpetuate his kingdom, in an effort to teach our children, in an effort to teach our grandchildren, in an effort to, you know, maintain the local church, maybe most of the time, we never see the full fruits of those labors. Abraham never saw it either. There's nothing new about that. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be following God, doing what we should do, what he commands us to do, for the sake of future generations if we never see them. Are you with me? Now, I'm very serious about that. One thing that really disturbs me, and this is not to any of you all, but one thing that really disturbs me about people that simply will not come to church, people that say, well, you know, there are a bunch of hypocrites over there, and that's true. We're hypocrites. We're not as good as we'd like to be, you know. But they just make up an excuse, whatever the excuse is they make for not coming to church. And I want to say to them, friend, you're not doing one thing to perpetuate Christianity for future generations. Right? Okay. Unto thy seed will I give this land, Abraham. And there, notice what he does. Let me pause right here before I read this. I want y'all to know that there are theologians that say that Abraham was not born again until Genesis chapter 15. Remember in Genesis chapter 15 when God calls him out and says, look up at the stars, and Abraham believed God? You cannot imagine the theologians that say Genesis 15 is when Abraham was born again. Well, how is it then that he came out of Ur by faith? It won't work. He was born again before he ever left Ur. Now notice what and he's obeyed God. Now he waited a while. Let me ask you, was God pleased with his obedience? Absolutely. And we're told in Romans and Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please God. There's no doubt Abraham's born again. And here he proves it. Look at this verse. Verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So he worships God there. This is at or near the place that was eventually called Bethel. He builds an altar and worships God. Does that sound like an unregenerate person to you? The Bible's clear that a person who is not born again, God is not in all his thoughts. His mind, he's got a carnal mind. He's at enmity with God. He does not love God. He will not come to God. He will not worship God. Here's Abraham. He's not even Abraham yet, and he's already worshiping God. He's 75 or so. Hallelujah. Now this will be, if we keep going in Genesis, this is going to be more important as we continue. Okay. And he removed, verse 8, still in Genesis 12, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and, on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. He worshiped God right there. Now I want you all to see this as clear. I want you to see it so clearly that you'll never doubt it ever. I want you to understand fully, Abraham was a born-again child of God before he ever left Ur. Did he? He sort of partially obeyed God. Does that sound familiar to you? And then finally, he obeyed God to a greater, fuller extent. God blessed him, and he's worshiping God. Show me somebody that worships God, and I'll show you a born-again child of God. Are you with me? Verse 9. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now remember, when he left Ur, he was kind of going north and west up at Haran. And then when he leaves Haran to go into the land of Canaan, he's going almost due south to come in to the land of Canaan, okay? That's what's going on here. What do you think? What do you think? All right, now, just let me bring out a few thoughts here, and I'll bring this to a close. I've already gotten ahead of myself, but I'm going to reiterate myself. That's just okay. I guess if I can interrupt myself, I can repeat myself too, can't I? How crazy is that? Okay. Now, here's what I want you to see. This is starting a process. What's happening to Abraham right here is starting a process that's going to be throughout the Old Testament scriptures, all the book of Genesis, which gets, I guess the last one of the last things that's in the book of Genesis is Pharaoh and Joseph and his bones being carried up out of Egypt. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt in Exodus. The Levitical priesthood in Leviticus, they're prospering in Numbers, and then the repeat of the law in Deuteronomy. And then the prophets that come after that. Well, the period of the judges, actually. Then the prophets, the kings, and then the prophets, all the way to Malachi, Isaiah, and all those prophets, y'all, all of whom prophesied of the coming of Messiah, who would be of the lineage of Abraham and of the lineage of David. Do you remember what God told David? Years later. This is how perfect the Bible is. Years later, God told David, I'm going to raise up a son, my son, to sit on your throne. And that was initially fulfilled historically with Solomon, but the ultimate fulfillment of that came in Christ, who is presently right now seated on the throne of his Father God in heaven. Isn't that great? That's what this is all about. If people read this and all they're thinking about is Jewish history, they're missing the bus. Jewish history is important, but it's not the most important thing. All right, Abraham, like us, started out following God, and I would think I would be willing to say that he got better as he went. Would y'all be willing to say that? He improved as he went along. And I want y'all to know, there's a sense in which we will never be good enough to satisfy the standard of God. It took the righteousness of Christ to satisfy the standard of God. Say amen. Your righteousness won't work. However, you can please God in your daily life. All of that notwithstanding, you can still please God in your daily life. And one way you do that is to make improvement. To do a little bit better. Say amen. I want you to know that. I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you what else. Even if you... I'm going to use the word backslide a little bit. That's not a good word. That's not the word I want. I'm going to scratch that. Scratch the word backslide. Now, if I were in a court of law, I could retract that. Have that erased from the... Couldn't I? Say, erase that. Even if you drift a little bit, that's a better word, isn't it? Even if a child of God drifts a little bit, when they do obey God and get better, that still pleases God. Are you with me? I want you to know you can please God in your daily life. You do not have to be perfect to please God. You do not have to understand absolutely everything about the Bible to please God. Now, the more we understand, the more it pleases God. There's no doubt about it. But when you understand something about God, when you make a little improvement, you learn something about God, I'm telling you right now, that pleases God. May I be bold enough to say, if you improve in your attendance, it pleases God. If you improve in your prayer life, it pleases God. If you improve in your communication with the saints of God during the week, it pleases God. Improvement pleases God. Isn't that great? You don't have to be perfect to please God. You do have to be perfect to completely satisfy God. And that's why we had to have Christ. And y'all look, that individual, that perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the process we're seeing right here in Genesis is the thing that got that started till we eventually got Messiah born in Bethlehem, Judea. Can you even imagine that? And it's a genealogical thing. It just blows my mind. And sinners were involved in it. Did you know God uses sinners to do stuff? You know why God uses sinners? That's all he's got to work with. And God can and will use you. But you might have to do like Abraham and follow him. Are you with me? Okay. Well, these events are so important. I'm going to read you. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. And the Bible study people are going to have to forgive me. Matthew chapter 1. To kind of hopefully show you some of the significance of what I'm trying to tell you. Because this is going to involve, it's going to involve some of my favorite stories, some of your favorite stories in the Bible. The story of Rahab the harlot is involved in the story of eventually getting Messiah into the world. Did you know she's involved in it? If I'm not mistaken, Rahab the harlot was King David's great-great-grandmother. Let that soak in. Does God use sinners in his service? You know, there are people that won't follow Christ, join the church, take up their cross and all because they feel unworthy. Well, you are unworthy, but that's irrelevant. I mean, that's just blunt. Sure, you're unworthy. The fact of the matter is, Christ has made you worthy, and you can do things you can't even believe you can do through the strength that God gives you. You can do things you can't do. You know what I mean? In other words, you can do things that you do not have the strength to do because God gives you a superhuman strength through the Spirit of God. You can even, listen, you can even deny your carnal nature, which you could not do if you didn't have another nature to help you do that. And every time, right now, you know what I'm thinking about? About what I need to deny my carnal nature? Every time we had lunch at the Mud Creek Association, I had a piece of apple pie for dessert. Boo hiss. My wife was saying to me, in essence, she didn't say anything, but she was maybe thinking, maybe she wasn't. Okay, here's what I was thinking. I don't know what Becky was thinking. I was thinking, you know what you need to do? You need to deny yourself a piece of pie at every meal. Deny yourself. Are you with me? That's just a little tiny. And you know what? This is crazy. If I ever would deny myself and just say one time, okay, Lord, I'm not going to have that apple pie, that would please the Lord. That's a silly example, but you understand what I'm saying, don't you? Oh, isn't that great? Oh, okay. Matthew 1. Rahab the harlot was involved in this. You know, Tamar, who was raped, was involved in this story I'm trying to tell you. The 12 patriarchs, Judah, the descendants of Judah, who were the kings. It's unbelievable. When you start thinking about this, it's just amazing how God is orchestrating the history of the world and specifically of the nation of Israel to get us the Messiah who would come in the likeness of sinful flesh and save his people from their sins. And when I say his people, Matthew 1:21, when it says he shall save his people from their sins, he's not just talking about the Jews. He's talking about all the elect in all ages, in all tribes, in all families, and in all nations. All of the sheep. He will save them without the loss of one. And this started with a God calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees as far as the human nature of Christ is. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Okay, Matthew 1. 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It's So you can take Christ, Joseph and Mary, and you can trace them back all those generations to David. And then trace them back past David, all the way back to Abraham, whom God has just called out of Ur of the Chaldees to inhabit the land of Canaan. This is the God of the Bible. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And Judah was the son of Israel that Christ came through. Can I read you one more? Can y'all imagine that God did this? Y'all understand what I'm telling you is literal historical fact. God appearing to Abram at age 60 or so in Ur of the Chaldees to get this whole genealogical process started to get us Messiah. One more verse. I don't want to read just one more, but I'm just going to read one more. I really want to read the whole genealogical thing to you there, but you can go home and read it yourself. Well, can I read just a little dab of it? Just a little dab of it right at the end. Verse 14. And Azor begat Sadoc, and Sadoc begat Acham, and Acham begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Say amen, church. Unbelievable. So, I'll close with this. Crazy to close on this. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Glory be to God. I want you to know when God appeared to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees, it wasn't about the Jewish nation. It was about Messiah. And I hope you believe it. We'll keep going in Genesis if God will...